Pastor George here. I wanted to take a second and thank you for checking out our online messages. Our prayer is that this resource will challenge you, encourage you, and empower you as you dig deeper in your relationship with Christ. But in no way will it replace God's plan for your active involvement in a local church. I do want to take a second and ask you to prayerfully consider, as you participate and listen to this resource, partnering with Revive as we pursue our mission of seeing people live their fullest life in Christ. You can do this by going online to revivechurchga.com/give and making a one-time donation or setting up a recurring gift. It's through the generosity of others that we're able to provide a resource like this one. With that being said, I do want to thank you again, and here is today's message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Thank you that we get to gather and worship your great name. We get to sit in your glory and sing your praises. I pray now that as we dive into your word, that you would speak to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we are in chapter 6 of Galatians, our last week in Galatians, the last chapter in Galatians. So I'm just going to read the first part of it. The end of it is going to be Paul's conclusion, his goodbye. I'm going to read the first part, which is kind of the fruit of everything we've done up to this point. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself to someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all the good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Paul has said what he wants to say, and he still does not stop throwing punches. He is direct, and he is blunt. So let's kind of recap how we got here, right? We're in the last book last week. Let's figure out where we've been. We talked in week one about how Paul is writing this letter to the church congregations in Galatia, which is like a region, right? Because these churches, they heard from Paul. They receive salvation from Jesus. They're trying to live a Christian life. But then there's these Judaizer influencers that are coming in from other places and saying, you know what? Jesus is not enough. That you need Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the Torah, Jesus plus your own works, Jesus plus Moses. Jesus alone is not enough. And these Galatian people are buying it. They are abandoning their Jesus-only gospel for a Jesus-plus gospel. They are abandoning, they are turning from the faith they know. And Paul is like, you have to chill. Like, this is not good. He is direct and he's blunt, telling them to stay the course. He's telling them that it is not you that earn your salvation. No, 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 no. It is not you that earns your sanctification, your freedom. It is Jesus through the power of the Spirit that does the work in you. He saves. He sets us free. In him you have forgiveness. In him you have victory over sin. You need nothing else. We gain this through faith alone. It's all about what's been done for us, what's been done in us. And then we get to chapter 6, and Paul's like, you better start doing some work. You're like, wait a minute. That seems like the opposite of what you just have been saying for 5 chapters. Now it's about working. And Paul is saying, exactly. You're not working to earn your salvation. You're not working to earn freedom. You are working because God has done such an amazing thing in you. He's done a work in you so that now he can do a work through you. That your salvation, though it is very personal, it was never meant to be private. That your salvation is a gift so that you can be a gift to the world. He says in verses 4-8, let each person examine his own work, that he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who is taught the word also share all good things with the teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to the flesh will reap destruction of the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. God saves, God frees, the Spirit enables, the Spirit empowers, the Spirit produces, but you and I have a job to do. This new work that has been done in us is so that we can make a difference in the world around us. Being a Christian is not about getting saved and saying, great, now I can show up and I can sit at church every Sunday and sing the songs and hear the teaching. But when I leave, it's just about making sure I feel good. It's just about making sure that I'm safe when Jesus returns. Yes, we wait upon the Lord, but we wait upon the Lord as we are working to advance the new His kingdom in the world we have around us. Paul is clear. Your freedom, your salvation is so that you can make a difference in someone else's life. Verse 1, if someone is overtaken in wrongdoing, restore them with a gentle spirit. Verse 2, fulfill the law of Christ by carrying one another's burdens. Verse 6 is an application of verse 2. Let the one who is taught share the good things with the teacher. This is about serving those who serve you. People who are putting in the work. People who you see loving on you and loving on people in the church. It's about doing what you can to in turn serve them. Verse 10, let us not tire. Let us do work for the good of all. The good of all. Imagine how differently the news would have looked over the past couple weeks if we sought to do the good for all, even those we disagree with. Current event after current event after current event shows violence towards people we disagree with. Especially for those who belong to the household of faith. And verse 9 says, this will be difficult. This is not going to be easy. But do not give up. Your spiritual life is personal, but it was never meant to be private. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you need to go to work and shove your faith down your coworkers' throats. Okay, I'm not telling you that you need to intentionally do stuff to get in trouble. There may be a time where God calls you to stand up for your faith and lose your job. All right, that might happen. But there are Christians in countries where it is illegal to be a Christian. God is not asking them to stand on the corner and preach and lose their life. He wants their faith to be personal. He wants their faith to be secret because he wants them to continue to spread and build the church. But it's not private. They are still loving their neighbors. They're still serving their community. And the church is absolutely exploding in these countries where it has to be underground. Okay, so I'm not telling you to not use discernment. We need to use discernment when sharing our faith and talking to others. We need to be wise. But I'm also not telling you to not speak up. If Christ has saved you, if chains of addiction have fallen, if the chains of self-hate or pride have fallen, if your marriage has been healed, if your kids have been protected, and you have never brought up your faith with someone far from God, I think Paul would have some pretty harsh words for us. If Christ has saved you and you are not constantly looking for ways to give of yourself for others, I think, again, Paul would have some harsh words for us. If you've been set free by the Spirit of the Lord and you are not burdened for those who have not been set free, again, I think Paul would have some harsh words for us. This letter is bold and almost abrasive and his assertion. God has done a work in you so that he can do a work through you. And this is scripture. This is great theology, surprise, by Paul, okay? When we look at the story of the Bible, we see constant reminder of God's people meant to be his representative and God stepping in and saving them so that they could represent God to the rest of the world. Think about the very beginning. You can't read Genesis without realizing that and not seeing that God has a special place for humans, right? You take Adam and Eve and he places them in the garden. But what we see is that they were never meant to stay in the garden, right? We remember that first command to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it. They were meant that humanity is God's image, God's glory placed in the garden with the purpose of taking that glory throughout all of creation. There is nothing greater than the glory of God. There is nothing greater than the glory of our triune God. And he created us in his image to reflect and represent that glory throughout all of creation. Adam was supposed to leave the garden, but it was not supposed to be because of exile. He was supposed to take the glory of God and fill the world with it. We as humanity were chosen to reflect God's glory to the world. But when Adam sinned and was exiled, he messed up, marred that reflection. God made us to represent him, to embody his character, and to live in ways that reflected his beauty and his glory throughout creation. But sin marred that image. So Adam left the garden in judgment instead of in blessing. And from that moment on, we see God redeeming his people and restoring that image for the same purpose, so that his humanity can reflect his glory through his love and loving kindness to the rest of the world. You have a job to do. And that job is not to earn your salvation. It's not to work to be holy. It's to take that salvation and that holiness that is given to you and spread the glory of God throughout all of creation. This, we see it all throughout scripture. God blesses Abraham so that he can be a blessing to the world. God frees the Israelites, right, through Moses. And as soon as he frees them, he takes Moses up onto Mount Sinai, creates a covenant so that God's people will be a priestly kingdom. That's the language. He says, all the world is mine, but I've chosen you to be a priestly kingdom. What do priests do? They represent God. They're a stand-in, a representative from God to the people and from the people to God. And God chose the Israelites. He saved them so they could represent him to the rest of the world. You see it? It's just like Adam was made in the image so that he could take God's glory into the rest of the world. It continues on. Maybe one of my favorite examples of this is Isaiah's call. Do you guys know this story when Isaiah gets his call? All right, great. I'm going to tell you about it. Okay, it's one of my favorite. Times are going great. Everything is going good for God's people. King Uzziah, he's been doing a great job. Everything's up and to the right. People are thriving. He's been a great king. But then he dies. And when he dies, certainty is replaced with uncertainty. All right? Thriving is replaced with anxiety. People begin to take things into their own hands. They begin to stop worshiping God. They begin to make a real mess of things. And so the text tells us that in the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah had a vision. And in this vision, he sees the glory of God. It says the hem of his robe filled the temple. There's these angelic creatures all around him that will blow your mind, okay? And they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. May his glory fill the earth. And in that moment, Isaiah has this vision where he sees the glory of God. He is immediately convicted by his uncleanliness, by his unholiness. He has no words other than, woe is me. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I am from a people of unclean lips. He sees the glory of God and is aware of his brokenness and his sinfulness, and he has no response other than to bow and say, Lord, woe is me. And in that moment, God has one of these angelic creatures, a seraphim, fly over and grab a coal from the altar. Sorry, try not to cough in the mic. And he grabs the coal from the altar and he flies over to Isaiah and he places the coal on his lips. I can imagine that pain, okay? And so in that moment, the seraphim looks at Isaiah and says this, now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has been departed, forgiveness. And your sin has been blotted out, freedom. Not only is he forgiven, but sin done away with. Do you see it? He is forgiven and he is set free. The lips are no longer unclean. They are no longer bound to sin. And we know this because the very next thing we see is God asks this question about who is going to be able to sin. And Isaiah gives an unabandoned, unhindered, absolutely all of me yes, right? God, he hears God say, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Completely cleansed, completely forgiven. And why? Why does he receive that salvation? Why does he receive that freedom? To be sent, to go, a work done in him so that a work can be done through him. This is the narrative of Scripture. Fast forward all the way to Jesus. Jesus is this coal, right? He lives the perfect sinless life. He goes to the cross. He dies and takes the penalty for sin, offering us forgiveness. He raises from that grave, defeating sin so that we can have freedom. So we are forgiven and sin has been blotted out so that we can be, Acts 1:8, his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Saved to serve, a work done in us so that a work can be done through us. Our text today calls us to carry one another's burdens, to restore each other with gentle spirit, to do the work of good for all. This is a cry for taking the work that has been done in salvation and sanctification and justification, all those things that Paul has been talking about, so that we can make a difference in the creation around us, so that we can represent the glory of God to those who are far from God and to those who are the household of God, to everyone around us. I want to finish this message because that's it. That's the point. But I want to finish with some practical ways that we get to do this. Kind of a vision for Revive, if you will. Revive is a part of the South Coastal District of the Wesleyan Church. Okay, we're not a non-denominational church. We are a Wesleyan church. And this belonging to this denomination holds me accountable, but it also offers us structure and support. And so one of the emphases for our district over the last couple of years has been this idea that comes from Acts 1:8, right? Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. It's a continuation of what we've been talking about. You will receive power when the Spirit comes on you for a reason, so that you can be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the language that our district has used here is here, near, hard and far, right? But when Jesus says this to his followers, Jerusalem is here. It's where they're at. Judea was close, so it was near them. Samaria was the most difficult place he could have mentioned. There's racism, there's rivalries, there's hate. It's a hard group to reach. And then the ends of the earth, that is far. So when we take that and we apply it to our setting, and put it in our context, we are called to reach here, near, hard, and far. So if we're going to live out this text that Galatians is talking about, I think we take Acts 1:8 and we apply it to our setting. For the here, that's us. That's this church. We have several ministries several things that we do. Sunday mornings, it's gathering together to witness and experience the glory of God, to sing his praise, to worship, to hear teaching. We have a Bible study where we can grow in God's word together. And one of the, probably the most essential aspect of this is our life groups. A place where you can literally bring your burdens to people who are spiritual and can restore gently, that whole aspect there, who can carry your burdens. It can happen in the circle of a life group. As you say, man, I'm going through this. Man, I feel like God's calling me in this area. I experienced God's presence in this week. And you open up to that group, and then that group can pray for you. They can encourage you. They can be honest with you. But that only happens as those relationships develop. So our here are the ministries that we participate. And so if we're going to do this, you have to be here. You got to participate in Sunday mornings. You have to be at Bible study. You have to be at life group. I'm not saying you have to have perfect attendance, okay? But what I'm saying is you have to have a burden in your heart to be a part of the body of Christ. And the way that we are doing this idea of here, these are the ministries that we do here at Revive. The next thing we do for our near is something new that we've got coming up. I'm going to get Lauren to throw the Alcovy slide up. So we have an opportunity to partner with Alcovy High School, calling it Fuel Those Who Fuel the Future, or Shape the Future, right? So basically, our plan is to start in one of the break rooms at Alcovy High School, and we're going to stock this break room with all kinds of goodies, like snacks and drinks and refreshments, so that the teachers, as they need a pickup throughout the day, they can go in here, and it's not just for teachers, it's going to be for all staff, custodians, administration, all. They can go in here, and it's a chance that Revive is supporting them as they reach the next generation, right? And the hope is that this grows, that we are in one break room, then two, then all, and then into another school, and we can kind of go from there, right? And so what this process is looking like, we had paperwork that we had to fill out. That paperwork was submitted a couple of weeks ago. I haven't heard back from that yet. They say it takes a couple of weeks, so I'm looking to hear back in the next week or so. And from there, we jump. The whole paperwork is so that we can do this ministry. And when they say yes, we're going to have to buy the snacks. We might need manpower to deliver the snacks. We might need manpower to build a shelf or two if we're going to be putting them in the break room. I don't know what's there. We're going to need creative people to help create graphics for a suggestion box, but also we want to have a prayer request box. We need you to pray over the high school, pray over the teachers, the staff, the students, and then when the teachers submit those prayer requests, volunteer to pray over those prayer requests. This is a way that you can get involved through prayer right now. It's a chance for us to partner with something near to us, which is a high school and hopefully further in our community. The next thing that we, for our hard, and this is a conversation that I had yesterday, and this is difficult because it's political. That you can't talk about this stuff without it being political. So I hope to not be political, but you might take it that way. I had a phone call yesterday with a pastor in our district. His name is Daniel Chavista. And he leads a Spanish-speaking church in our district. So he's a pastor just like me, part of our pastor's huddle. And he's got his own congregation with their own things they're trying to accomplish. He also helps oversee the multiple Spanish-speaking congregations that we have as a part of our district. There's no doubt you've seen all the stuff in media with ICE and everything that's going on there. And I know that immigration is a hot topic. And I know that we all have certain biases and certain ways that we feel. But what I want you to hear this morning is not about what is truth and what's not truth, because there's issues with wherever you get your sources from. But I want you to hear what brothers and sisters in the Wesleyan denomination in our district are feeling and experiencing. Okay? The first is that they are afraid because they are hearing stories of citizens, not immigrants, not legal or not illegal or legal, not documented or undocumented. These are American citizens. They were either born in the States or they've earned their citizenship. But yet they are being detained based solely on the way they look and the way they talk. Because they are Hispanic, they are being detained. Now, they're not being deported. They can't be deported legally. So it's not like there's these long-lasting consequences. But they are afraid of being thrown in whatever the detention centers look like. They use the word jail. They're afraid of being thrown in jail simply because of how they look. And then later being released But how many of you would love to get pulled over and thrown in jail just because of the color of your skin or the way you talk? This is a fear that they hear because of the stories they've heard. They have stories of fully documented immigrants, okay? They have lived in the United States for years, but they have built contingency plans because they know that they've seen people who have paperwork, they've been in the States for years, they've got all the paperwork done and filled out, but because of clerical errors are being deported. So they are afraid. They don't know if it's going to happen, but they have contingency plans because they could be thrown and detained, find some kind of something wrong with their paperwork, and then deported and be removed from their family in an instance for years, not able to see their kids, their spouses, or their siblings. There are legal business owners. Okay, they are documented. They have a legal business with the Georgia Bureau, all of that stuff. But the way their businesses work is they have to be hired to do jobs. It's like subcontracting, right? They get hired to do jobs. And these business owners are having to travel multiple states away because they're not able to get hired in Georgia for fear that they could, the people that would hire them says, man, it's not wise for me to hire them because what if they get detained in the middle of a job and can't finish it? So what they're having to do is they're having a hard time finding work and they're having to travel multiple states away from their family in order to make a livelihood. And because of these plans, because of these financial hardships, to talk about the churches specifically, the people aren't giving. They are afraid of what's going to happen. They're afraid that their resources are going to run out. And so the churches are having to operate with scarcity, right? And talking to Daniel yesterday, he said they are fine. They have not had to miss any bills, but they are officially dipping into their savings. And so just so you guys know, what you can do to participate right now is you can give. You can give online or in the offering plate. I told Daniel, like, look, if you guys have a financial need or any of our other Spanish-speaking congregations have a financial need, reach out to me. We'll do what we can to help and make it happen. So he's reaching out, communicating with the other congregations, is going to get back to me. But I want to live with a generous heart so that we can give and support them if they need it. But also pray. I mean, there's been so many times in my life where I've felt this need that I've tried to fix on my own. And when I finally break down and go to God in prayer, I immediately see him make a difference. So pray for these congregations. Pray for their protection. Pray for the provision for those churches. And then also pray for our country. It's important that our country protects its citizens. It's important that it's done the right way. So we need to pray that they figure it out, that it's not done the wrong way. It's a hard thing to navigate. There's tension there. We need to love our neighbor and also know that there's a certain way that the countries have to be ran, okay? So pray for our country that they can figure it out. Okay, now I'm gonna switch the tone a little bit. Sorry, that was hard, but the hard part's gonna be hard, okay? So we've done here, near, hard, and then far. This might be the most exciting thing for me, okay? When we first started Revive Church and wanted to plant Revive, our whole goal was to be a church that plants churches, right? And so this was an idea that I was like, okay, as we grow and we figure out how to do church in a healthy way, spirit-filled, then we'll plant churches that will follow that model. Well, my whole philosophy of ministry has changed since then, and it's much healthier now, but it's been a long process. We haven't had this opportunity, right? Well, our district has partnered with the Pilgrim Wesleyan Church in Zambia. And by partnering with this church, what they've learned is that this church in Africa is absolutely thriving. It is exploding. They're building a college. They are churches are growing. And they actually have 10 pastors ready to start churches, but do not have the funds to start those churches. And so we, a church of 15 to 18 people, have the opportunity to plant a church across the world in Zambia, Africa. And what's crazy about Africa is the Christian faith is exploding. It is one of the fastest places, fastest continents where the faith is growing. But while you have places like Zambia where it's exploding, there are other places in northern Africa where there are unreached people groups. They don't even know that Christianity is a thing. All in the same continent. It's a big continent, okay? But there's this chance to really impact the world, and we have that opportunity. And what's great about this is it's not something you have to give towards. You've already given towards it. This is something that we are doing. We have already worked with the district. We've already said, hey, we're on board. We are going to fund a church plant across the world. The way it works is it's $8,100 spread out over 3 years. So you can't stop giving, okay, because we're going to need it for 3 years. But we are partnering. We are planting a church. I'm not going to butcher the name because I haven't had a chance to practice it. But there's a bishop who is over the church plants, and he was at our district conference. He kind of told everybody about it. You can go by. We could go by and talk to them, talk to their booth. And so he's got 10 planters ready to go, and our district wants to plant all of them. We're going to be a part of planting one of them. And so the district funds them, and then we pay the district back over 3 years is how this is working for us financially. But I don't want to just give. Pray for them. Pray for the Pilgrim Wesleyan Church in Zambia. Pray for Zambia. Pray for the bishop. I can send out his name so that you can read it. It's really hard to pronounce, okay? Pray for them. And also, we'll get updates. So as I get updates and pictures, as these things begin to launch and happen, I'll update you guys. There's also maybe an opportunity in the year or two where a team can travel to Zambia and actually go to the church and that we've planted and be a part of that congregation for a Sunday. So who knows what's happening with that in the future. But this is a chance. This not just a chance. This is how we are doing something far. You guys are a part of that. You being here, the things you have done have allowed you to plant a church in Africa. I mean, it's incredible. I could scream. I'm so excited about it, right? So this is a way that we are living out this message this morning of being a work being done in us so that a work could be done through us. Pray for this church. Pray for this organization, a part of our, they're a sister denomination, but they're a part of our denomination in Africa. That's kind of what it's called there. Okay, I think that's it. Oh, it's not it. All right, so also in Zambia, same place, the pastors don't earn an income, okay? They are able to pastor because they make a living doing other things, and it's almost always farming. And so one of the things that we can do is we can purchase breeding goats for $150 so that a pastor can take those goats and then begin farming, and they're able to have an income to pastor the churches that they're at. So what we're going to do, this is not starting today, but in the kind of the holiday season as we get into the fall, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're going to do a fundraising campaign where we're going to raise money to see how many goats we can purchase for this organization in Africa. Again, we're a small church. The district doesn't expect much from us. There are churches that are larger than us who are not participating. But I would love to shock them with a check for many goats, okay? Not just one, but many goats, okay? And so that's something I want you to be thinking about and praying for and saving for so that when we begin this initiative, we can raise the funds for many goats. At M-A-N... Why not many goats? Okay, so that's true. If they're breeding goats, they will be many goats. Okay, so a really practical ending to the message. I hope you see that God saves, God sanctifies, He does a work in us so that He can do a work through us. Now, let's go and fill the earth with His glory. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these opportunities. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your love of dying on the cross and saving us, Lord, for sanctifying us and setting us free and changing us and molding us so that we can reflect your love and your glory to the world around us. I pray that we will do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. I just want to know if you wanted to have like a. And when I look at the
the space between where I used to be and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. Beneath the water.